It's time for Around the American. Around the American. The Monday edition. With a full recap of what went down around the American Athletic Conference this weekend, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
And on this show, we've got plenty of interesting stuff, some bad ends to the bowls for the conference. And I mean that in the actual ends of the last two bowl games. A 1-5 bowl record, not quite the 0-6 that the ACC suffered through. Certainly two games that the conference's best two teams during the course of the year could have won. Tulsa absolutely dominating Mississippi State in all the categories except the one that counts the final score. And then, of course, Cincinnati having a two-score lead in the fourth quarter against Georgia, only to suffer a controversial chance to put it away, going for a pass on third and two with Georgia out of timeouts and about 90 seconds left. You'll hear what Luke Fickell had to say about that. But also, of course, giving up a long field goal after all that was said and done and falling in a heartbreaker, 24-21. But we won't stop with football as the football season has ended. Basketball is in complete full swing, and we've got players of the week to tell you about. The net rankings are out. We'll let you know where the Bulls lie in that scenario. And, of course, results since we last left the air, and that was doing the show last Wednesday. Really not many games during the week, but Saturday things picked up again with basketball, so you'll get a full recap of that. And also, one team has already released its volleyball schedule. And if it seems early, it's not, because the volleyball season is less than 3 weeks away. In fact, I can tell you that being here at USF on this Monday afternoon, we had an all-staff meeting, certainly going to not give away any of the inside stuff, but I can tell you that you want to tune in to Bulls Beat on Tuesday morning. We'll give you a hint of what's happening as far as all the other sports falling into line next after basketball. So many, and they will be here real soon. In fact, within 2 weeks of this Monday, January the 4th. We will go back to last Wednesday when it comes to games. As far as making sure we cover them all for you, there were a couple on the men's basketball side, and of course we'll discuss everything when it comes to basketball. But first, starting off with a game that took place last Thursday in football, New Year's Eve. It was the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, and Mississippi State defeats Tulsa 28-26. Gotta say it, when you have a few under 500 SEC teams, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Kentucky, all winning their bowl games, hard to argue the fact that the SEC is still number one. Of course, don't get me going on folks that think, you know, you should keep the playoff at four because everyone's just second place to Alabama. Let's not go crazy there. If you think that, then, you know, if there's a team that's dominating in the NFL, we should just skip to the Super Bowl. If there's a really good team, I don't know, Gonzaga's far and away the best team in college basketball, let's just skip to the Final Four. So, yeah, there still needs to be expansion in college football, but when it comes to the American Athletic Conference, it certainly fizzles any thought or any notion that Cincinnati got jobbed by not being allowed in the top four, for example, this year, and then you have Tulsa losing to a Mississippi State team. That being said, Tulsa should have beaten Mississippi State, even though the Bulldogs came in with just a 3-7 record. They really didn't do anything offensively. They are known for their passing attack, and they were held to 148 yards passing by Tulsa. In fact, total yards, Tulsa 484, Mississippi State 271. But when you have a 90-yard interception return, first of all, Tulsa deep in Mississippi State territory, down 14-13 going towards the end of the third quarter, certainly looked ready to take the lead. Instead, that 90-yard interception return completely changes the game. And of course, if you're Mississippi State, that's 90 yards that don't count on your yardage total, but turned out to be really the big yards of the game. After that happened, Tulsa still did answer back with a touchdown drive two possessions later, and the way Tulsa has come back in games this year, that was no problem, right? Being down by 8 points. Certainly you would expect the two-point conversion to work. It didn't. And what you did not expect was Mississippi State to put together its one really good offensive drive of the game, 11 plays, 65 yards, and they made it 28-19 with just 8 minutes to go. By the time Tulsa got back into the end zone and kicked the extra point down two, they needed an onside kick, and that was just not going to happen. So they lose the game 28-26. But as you all know, what happened after the game took center stage from there. Here's how it sounded on ESPN with an unintentional bit of foreshadowing to start off the end of the game. From the announcers.
The Tulsa Golden Hurricane, really good season. Played for the American Athletic Conference Championship. Fell in that game and put up a good fight today. of a game that we just had that wrapped up is Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Chris Connor, Mark Kurtzlick, Ian Fitzsimmons is down on the field. Both of these teams came back together.
Yeah, I mean, this turned into a brawl. And, you know, this wasn't pushing and shoving that we saw before the game. I mean, there were punches thrown. There was an intent to injure people.
State troopers on the field. As the coaches met at midfield and we were signing off, it got ugly in a hurry. Here's what it looked like. And this right is the here, coaches for both teams desperately trying to keep things, these teams apart.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, look at that. I mean, those are real punches being thrown. That's Malik Heath, number 4 for Mississippi State.
Tenille Martin is into it with number 7 for Tulsa.
Yeah. Look, he has his helmet off. He's taking actual punches to the head. I mean, it's dangerous.
You heard him mention Demonte Russell from Mississippi State taking off the helmet of Tenille Martin, and it got really scary. And after the game, both coaches predictably not proud of what took place. Here is Philip Montgomery.
Yeah, I was proud of our football team. I thought we did a great job of just battling all the way through. Thought our defense played extremely well. Stood up at some important times. I thought offensively, you know, really did some good things. You know, we got points down in the red zone. We needed touchdowns a little bit more.
Philip, what happened after the game has kind of taken over the conversation about today. How disappointing is that? And what did you see happen?
You know, I'm not going to comment a whole lot about it. The one thing I'll say is, you know, our program, our guys, we're a team that are going to stand up for each other, and we're going to battle. And we talk about faith, family, football, and family's going to take care of family.
Tulsa interim AD Rick Dixon issued a statement saying, "We're extremely disappointed by the actions that followed Thursday's bowl game. Be assured this incident is being thoroughly reviewed and the appropriate disciplinary measures will be taken. The behavior did not reflect the TU values we seek to instill in future leaders." As for the conference promising to do an investigation into the whole situation, he did allude to staying together as a family. There was a penalty for a cheap shot by Mississippi State on that onside kick, and who knows if that might have lingered after the game. The game, which had some crazy statistical anomalies, we already told you about the total yardage dominated by Tulsa, had 2 receivers get 100-yard days, again, holding a passing team to just 148 yards, but the Bulldogs were dead last in FBS in running yards, 36 per game, and they managed 123 in this game. Still got outgained on the ground as well by the Golden Hurricane, but Philip Montgomery, you just heard him allude to settling for short field goals after it was 7-0. Tulsa shut out the Bulldogs for the last 13:41 of the first half, but their field goals, 27 yards, 33 yards, obviously not taking care of the opportunities to get 6 there. And both of Mississippi State's offensive touchdowns until that last drive coming to start off each half, really, except for the beginning of each half, it was all Tulsa in this game. But the Golden Hurricane finish at 6-3. And then Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl. Chance for the conference to finish strong after going 1-4 to start the bowl season, and it did look like it was going to happen. Cincinnati gets a touchdown late in the first half to take a 14-10 lead on Georgia, even after the Bearcats were called for a late hit penalty. One of their offensive linemen also gets called for targeting on that penalty. It seems like that was going to be a big moment, but the Bearcats overcame it. They were already playing without 2 second-team All-Americans on the defensive side. We know how good cornerback Ahmad Gardner and safety James Wiggins are. They were injured, and yet they were still up at the half. They extended the lead, getting the only points in the third quarter on a big, exciting Jerome Ford 79-yard touchdown run. Georgia gets a TD back, and their defense started to step things up. Short field thanks to a turnover as they sacked Desmond Ridder, something they would do 8 times on this day. That made it 21-16, the short field, a 2-play, 25-yard drive. So that's when the game started to turn. Then the Bearcats offense started to struggle. Georgia actually got inside the 10, but the Bearcats hold them to a field goal. So with 6:43 to go, it's still Cincinnati on top, 21-19. Then when the game changed, another sack ends the next Bearcat drive, and Georgia takes over with 4:10 to go, but they go 3 and out. They punt it back to the Bearcats, who take over right at the 3-minute mark. Georgia had already used 1 timeout, used its next 2. Bearcats seemed like they were going to get the first down on a pass to the tight end on second down, but they came up 2 yards short. The Bearcats call timeout, so it's 3rd and 2 with 1:41 to go at its own 40-yard line. If you're Cincinnati, what do? Let Desmond Ridder maybe roll out, pass-run combo, hand it off. No, Georgia had the box stacked, so they indeed rolled out Ridder. He would have been definitely tackled for a loss, so he tries a pass down the field, and Georgia barely gets a hand on it, and that's how that went, because 2 yards away from salting the game away with the Bulldogs out of timeouts. Instead, Georgia fields a punt at its own 20 and puts together a nice offensive drive, 53-yard field goal by Jake Podlesny, and then insult to injury at the end of the game, a sack on the final play, 24-21. Here's Luke Fickell, whose Cincinnati Bearcats fell for the first time this season and ended 9-1.
Like I told our guys, it's very disappointing when you come out so close, but we're not disappointed. I can't tell you how proud I am of, I say the seniors all the time, but how proud I am of all these guys, how these guys have handled it, how these guys have continued to move forward, how these guys have continued to take care of one another is what this game is really all about. And it's tough. It hurts. We'll be better because of it.
Luke, in a lot of ways, the game came down to that last offensive drive you had. What went into the decision to throw on a third down? Georgia, 40 more seconds.
Is that really? You serious? Like, because we're going to play to win. And we play to win. You know, we do what we do. It wasn't like we wanted to throw the thing. It was an opportunity. There was three different options to it. And, you know, we're not going to go back wondering and trying to play the wishing and wanting game.
I happen to agree with him. If it had been 20 seconds later on the clock, I would vastly disagree with them, because remember, there were 1:41 to go. Listen, if there's a minute, it's an easy decision. You play to win by turning around and handing it off. You punt. Georgia has 20 seconds, and there's no way they're going to get that field goal off. And I know if you run the ball and go for it that way on 3rd down and 2, you could also get those 2 yards, and you played to win in that respect. But Georgia had the box completely stacked with 8 players. Cincinnati actually called a timeout to discuss the play call, and as you heard, Desmond Ridder would have had the option to run. We all know how great of a running quarterback he is, but he would have had to get through 5 guys, and it just wasn't going to happen if you saw the play. So that's how the season ended. But basketball season, as I say, is fully engaged. Going back to last Wednesday when there were 2 games on the men's side, SMU goes to Philadelphia, stays undefeated, beats Temple 79-71. They went to 6-0 on the season, holding Temple's previous top scorer, J.P. Mormon, to just 2-for-12 in the contest, shooting better than 50% for the game while holding the Owls below 37%. Also, Wichita State, we mentioned how they had to make up a game against an NAIA team, Newman from Wichita. They won that game. 46-18 at the half, 81-43 was the final. But the next Wichita game was a little more substantial and a great result for the Shockers and the conference. Tyson Etienne. Remember, he was the guy that essentially won the game for the Shockers, who were down 13 at the Yuengling Center. Did the same thing on Saturday in Oxford, Mississippi, against an Ole Miss team that was looking for its 7th straight home win, which would have tied their program's home winning streak record, believe it or not. Wasn't quite a double figures deficit, but it was 7 points with less than 8 minutes to go, and the Shockers lived up to their name. Etienne took over. He had a go-ahead 3-pointer from NBA range that made it 73-71 with about 5 minutes to go. Trey Wade, another 3-pointer that put the Shockers on top for good with 3 minutes to go. What a win for Wichita. Etienne, 29 points, made 5 threes, 8 of 9 at the foul line, 19 points in the second half, including 11 straight. So it kind of makes you feel not as bad about Wichita coming back to beat the Bulls at the Yuengling Center when they do it to an SEC team, Ole Miss, that falls to 5-3, while Wichita goes to 6-2. And actually pretty good in the first net rankings that were released on Monday. It's very early, but it's still worth pointing out because the net is the main NCAA metric as far as the committee goes, not the RPI anymore. Houston, despite that loss to Tulsa, is still at 8. SMU, by the way, which lost for the first time to Houston on Sunday, is 37. And Tulsa, with the win against Houston, is at 66. If you're curious, the Bulls are at 114, but with many chances because of the quality competition in the conference to move up. As far as conference honors go, Etienne certainly was a candidate, but it had to go to the leader of Tulsa, considering what the Golden Hurricane did, and especially what Brandon Rashal did. 20 points and the go-ahead free throws, the winning free throws with just a second to go, down one to beating Houston 65-64. After falling behind 15-4 in this one, they actually got it back real quick, and the game essentially stayed very, very close the entire way. So big time credit and a huge win to Tulsa, and so much Credit also has to go their way for following that up with a road win at Cincinnati. And in that game, Rashall had 25 points and 13 rebounds. So yeah, he's the player of the week. Freshman of the week, Caleb Murphy. More on that on tomorrow morning's Bulls beat. Honor roll, Darius Perry. We saw what the UCF guard did against the Bulls, a career high 23 points. Etienne, of course, on the weekly honor roll, which always has five members. Tulane's Jalen Forbes. He led the way to a win Saturday against East Carolina. That was a close four-point victory. He scored 20 with five steals in that game. And SMU's Kendrick Davis averaged 18 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. They fell to Houston on Sunday as the Cougars bounced back from their first loss to give SMU its first loss. And it was all in the offensive glass, really. 21 second-chance points. They dominated that category, especially in the second half. It was a one-point game at the break. Houston came out 10-0. Now, there's some big news. The Cougars' Caleb Mills, who is their third leading scorer, is away from the team for undisclosed reasons. They're saying it's not due to COVID, but for personal reasons. So Houston lacking a little bit, but still, obviously, an outstanding team. The women's honors, well, you know who was the women's player of the week, and we'll have a full highlight reel of Betty Manunga and what she did. If you didn't hear, 23 points, 21 rebounds, that'll be on Bulls Beat Tuesday morning. But as far as other honors, Imari Thomas, the unbelievable senior for Cincinnati, one of the nation's leading scorers, in fact, second in the country. She's been so busy scoring, she's not rebounded quite as much. 24 points, 17 rebounds, 8 on the offensive side, 5 assists, 3 blocks in their win against Wichita State. Freshman of the week, Jerkayla Jordan from Tulane, which beat Memphis over the weekend, holding their outstanding player, Dulcie Fankamenjiadu, to just 5 points. Jordan's actually third in the conference in scoring, the freshman, 15.5 points per game. She had 15 in the win against Memphis. Dinah Jones, her teammate, was on the honor roll. She scored a team-high 19 in that win. Wichita's Seraphine Bastin had 18 points and 11 rebounds against Houston in a loss, and then almost had a triple-double against the Bearcats, and she was missing on the points end. 8 with 10 rebounds and 10 assists. By the way, Wichita had a big 23-4 run in that game after falling behind 14-2, and they were still in it late, but Cincinnati ended up pulling away. Houston's Erica Sidney, who we'll see at the Yuengling Center this Saturday, has been great shooting the ball, averaged 13 points, shooting at 9 of 12 in a couple of games for Houston, was on the honor roll, as was UCF's Cortegia Sanders. She led the way in their big win on Sunday against Houston with 17 points and 10 rebounds. That game was closed throughout before the Knights put it away late. And LaShonda Monk of East Carolina on the honor roll as well. And yeah, we mentioned UCS volleyball schedule is up on their website. First match, January 23rd. In other words, the season's almost here. More on volleyball soon, probably later this week. That's going to do it for Around the American on this Monday. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.